Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. We release daily editorials covering the markets, covering the day-to-day moves in metals and markets. So please be sure to check out our podcast and website. And as always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. On this weekend show, look, we're going to be covering the metals and the markets again, very much in the same theme that we've been talking about for this whole year, which is bear market action. We're kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, we talk to you about every month, and quite frankly, last month we went through a bit of a rebound in the U.S. equity markets. That rebound was very well called by a lot of technicians simply because of how oversold markets had gotten, but now we're seeing another rollover, and again, it seems like that recent rally, nothing more than a dead cat bounce or bear market rally. Jesse, in your eyes, big picture for the financial markets, has anything changed over the last month that either gets you more bearish, more bullish, or really any changes?
Well, I think it's, yeah, technicals have been really helpful in trading the markets this year, simply because I think it's important to distinguish between the sentiment cycle and the macro cycle, right? The sentiment cycle is much shorter than the macro cycle. Macro cycle, I'm talking about earnings and fundamentals and things that drive stock prices over a longer period of time. And sentiment, you know, creates these much shorter term swings. And so back in, you know, June, we did see sentiment get really extreme. Markets got oversold, and the fundamentals hadn't, you know, deteriorated enough to really, at that point, to justify, you know, the decline in prices. So we've seen this very strong rally. We've seen, you know, it's been a low liquidity environment over the summer, and there's been a massive short position that was built up in the stock market, whether you're talking about in the futures markets, S&P futures, you know, are literally record net short position there. And then in leveraged ETFs, you saw leveraged short ETF assets just explode into June. And so, yeah, all the pieces were in place for a short squeeze, which we saw into, you know, middle of this month. But at some point, and I think this is what's happening now, is the markets are starting to realize, wait, the Fed can't allow financial conditions to ease right now. And that's what rising stock prices represent, is the easing of financial conditions. And with inflation so high, the Fed has to push back against that. At the same time, we're seeing the macros continue to deteriorate, the fundamentals. So earnings, the earnings picture is analysts are having to consistently lower earnings estimates, and they're going to be continuing to do that because of, you know, these macro fundamentals, right? I think that we've talked about it before. When you see a rise in the dollar, rising interest rates, rising oil prices, it always leads to recession. We've seen those three things rise dramatically over the last 2 years. Recession is coming, and an earnings recession probably coming in the next few quarters. And that's what the market, this next phase of the bear market is going to be about, is pricing in the earnings recession to come.
Well, Jesse, let's expand on that a little bit. I know you've written a few times in some of your pieces about the coming earnings recession. And it seems like there's a tale of two different markets when you watch mainstream financial media. They tell you that everything's fine, consumer confidence numbers are higher, we've got good jobs report, we can't have a recession. If there's good jobs numbers and two quarters of negative GDP doesn't count anymore for a recession. And then you look at a lot of other data, like in the housing market or other metrics in the labor markets, or you look at other metrics as far as household debt skyrocketing, people living off credit, and it doesn't seem like a rosy picture. is your thesis that when we start seeing some of these companies report their earnings and people finally have the light bulb go on that we're in an earnings recession, is that when we really see the next leg down in this bear market?
Yeah, I think it's companies have been able to essentially arbitrage. They've been able to raise prices faster than their costs have been rising. And that's enabled profit margins to do, you know, really well, go to essentially record highs. We haven't seen corporate profit margins as high as they are today in decades, if ever. Like, companies have never been so profitable. But now we're seeing labor costs start to really take off. That's companies, you know, biggest expense is labor. And at the same time, you're starting to see pushback where consumers are saying, wait a second, we can't spend at least on these discretionary things as much as we would like. And if you're going to continue to raise prices, then we're going to start, you know, substituting or looking for bargains at, you know, different off-brand labels and whatnot. So I think that, you know, that's the shift that we're seeing is in early on, the beginning of the inflation push, it actually was a boon to companies because they could raise prices faster than their costs. Now, probably what we're going to see over the next 12 months is costs rising faster than the top line. And that's where you see this compression in profit margins and a significant decline in profits. And if you see that, then, you know, the PE ratio, which is, you know, something I wrote about recently, is going to look very depressed today. It's 18 times or something, you know, forward earnings. But that's based on those forward earnings. If those forward earnings decline dramatically, it's going to and it looks like the earnings have been inflated over the past, you know, year or two in an unsustainable way. Then, you know, it could turn out the PE ratio is 25-35 today, not 18. And if it's 35 today and it really should be 15, you know, you need a big decline in the price, you know, of the stocks to make up for that decline in the E.
So, Jesse, does this make up on the downside for the stocks to catch up to the earnings recession? Does it happen quickly, or does this continue to be more of this orderly stair-stepping bear market down?
Well, I think, you know, for those of us who have been trading markets, who have actually traded a bear market before, which, you know, feels like, you know, we're a small percentage of the population these days. You look back, I've traded through the 2008 bear market and the 2001-2 bear market before that and through some corrections in the 90s and things. Most people look back to 2008, if they look back at all. And 2008 was a crash. Yes, it was a bear market, but it was really a crash. You know, it happened it was kind of in a compressed period of time when there was obviously a financial crisis, which created that crash in prices. I think what we're seeing now is more of a kind of a traditional bear market where you don't necessarily have a crash in prices in a compressed period of time, but you have a shift in fundamentals, where fundamentals are deteriorating and prices need to catch up to that or reflect that. And so I do think it's probably going to be more of a drawn-out thing, like 2000 to 2002-3, or a probably more apt comparison is that 73-74 bear market, when inflation was a problem and the Fed was forced to tighten, even though they didn't tighten enough. And we saw a pretty painful recession. And so, you know, we are, I think, entering phase two of this bear market. I don't think it's going to look like a crash, but I do think we probably, you know, based on previous bear markets, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary at all to see another 20% decline into the end of the year.
Well, Jesse, you're not alone in thinking that there is still a lot more downside here for these markets. Again, very much bear market action. 20%, not out of the question, too, especially if the Fed keeps hiking rates through this year. And who knows, maybe even into next year. The problem being, it seems like these pullbacks in the markets are affecting everything, and that's why we have generally entered bear market territory for a lot of stocks in a wide range of sectors. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Phillips.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, we spent a lot of time talking about U.S. equity markets last segment. Let's switch our focus a little more to currencies and commodities in this segment. Starting off with the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar right around that 109 level. It has lost some of that momentum higher, but maybe you can make the argument that it's just consolidating some of these gains before making another leg higher. We've had a lot of technicians on the show pointing to that 120 level as still being very likely for the dollar to reach. I know you're not as bullish on the dollar, but I do have to ask, is that 120 level completely out of the question in your eyes?
Anything's possible, right? I wouldn't bet against it. I don't have any position in the dollar right now. But I do think that, what's gonna transpire over, what's likely to transpire over the next several quarters is exactly what the Fed's telling us. Is the Fed is saying at some point we're gonna have to slow the pace of rate hikes. We're probably gonna get 75 basis points next month. And, you know, that's kind of what markets are discounting. But from that point on, right, the Fed's gonna get us to 3%, on Fed funds. And at the same time, we're going to get more economic data showing the economy slowing, showing earnings are starting to deteriorate. And the Fed's going to, that'll probably be the last, major rate hike we get. We might get 50 basis points or 25 afterwards, but we're going to start getting closer to the end than the beginning. And that's where the dollar is going to have to start reflecting what's going on with the shift in monetary policy.
Well, Jesse, I'd be curious to get your outlook on the commodity sector because the commodities are historically punished by a strong dollar since they're priced in dollars. And so we have seen a pullback in commodities, whether it's metals like copper and nickel and tin and zinc and iron or the precious metals as the dollar is ratcheted higher, a lot of times tick for tick. But if the dollar does roll over, one would think that'd be strong for the commodities. But if it's happening in a recession and a weakening economy, what would your outlook be for the commodity sector in that kind of a scenario?
Well, my friends at Gehring and Rosenzweig have done some fascinating work on this subject. During a secular commodity bull market, recession is not necessarily that bearish for commodities. I think this is another example where people look back to 2008 and they expect the stock market to crash because that's what happened in 2008. They look back and they expect oil price, gold price, to crash, like they did, during the painful recession that was associated with the Great Recession and the Great Financial Crisis. I think we're probably, in an environment where the economy is not going to crash. If you look at, just how much cash consumers still have on their balance sheet, they're still spending like crazy. Look at the numbers of, credit card spend. It's up 11, 12% year over year. We're not seeing demand go away like you would see in a very painful recession. This recession that we're in is the opposite of, it's not a deflationary recession like we saw in 2008. We're in a stagflationary where nominal growth is going to remain relatively elevated, I think, just because there's so much cash floating around. But it's not going to keep pace with inflation. So we're in a stagflationary environment, which isn't bearish for commodities. Just the opposite. I think right now we're watching the oil price bottom out again here around $90. And it's going to start taking off because the releases from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve have been unprecedented, massive, biggest releases ever. And in the face of that, we've seen the oil price go sideways. Since February, March, the oil price has essentially just gone sideways in the face of the biggest release of the SPR in history. So that's going to come to an end here in another couple of months towards the end of October. No more releases. So then what, right? And we're already, here at the Oregon coast, I have a diesel pickup truck. I'm trying to fill it up with gas. Three gas stations I go to are out of diesel. The fourth one I go to only lets me fill up half a tank. They're already rationing diesel here in my local market. So the price action we're seeing is so out of touch with the supply and demand reality right now, but that's going to change too. People are going to start to realize, wait, we're not going to have the SPR to save us anymore. They did this, probably to help bring inflation down and for political purposes. But the oil price is bottoming, and it's going to, if it starts to move higher again, I'm almost afraid to think, you know, how high it could go. $160, $180 a barrel is not out of the realm of reality when you look at just the pure technical setup in oil right now.
Interesting. Okay, so an opportunity in oil in your eyes. What about any of the other commodities, like base metals, anything else? Is there opportunities in those other sectors, too, in this potentially stagflationary environment?
I think, you know, one of the, and this is probably something I've been talking about for a while, but I do think people are going to realize at some point that this talk about the Fed being hawkish is, we're going to look back on it and realize it was really just silly, that the fact that they're at 2.5% or something today and inflation's 8.5%. Monetary policy is still so massively accommodative right now, while inflation is running hot. They're not in a position where they can do what Paul Volcker did. Almost anything you look at the monetary tightening to easing ratio, some fascinating thing I read about in the Financial Times today. In the last 40 years, it's been about 66%, meaning they've removed 66% of the easing, and every time they've tightened, 66% of the easing that preceded it over the last 40 years. So it's been a net easing for 40 years. During the 70s, that was the opposite. They had to tighten 150% of the previous easing, and still it didn't fix the inflation problem. So think about if the Fed had to undo 150% of the easing that they did in 2020. It's not possible. It's not possible for them to do that. And they haven't even begun to undo, you know, a small percentage of the easing that happened. So you would think that just common sense, you ease monetary policy, you get a huge inflation problem, rapidly undo that easing. Well, they haven't even begun to undo the easing that they did. So the inflation problem is here to stay. We're probably in a new era of inflation volatility. I'm not saying that inflation is going to just continue higher in a straight line. That's not how this works. We could be watching a cyclical top in inflation, but it's not going to go back down sustainably below 2% anytime soon. We're going to see a number of peaks in inflation over the next several years. That argues for focusing your investments on real assets, on precious metals, commodities, real estate, et cetera, and avoiding financial assets. Because what that was the number one thing that benefited financial assets over the last 10 years was reduced volatility due to persistently low inflation that allowed monetary policy to do things that it wasn't able to do in the past. That era is over.
What a change this could be for investors and for markets in a longer-term sense. We'll, again, see how this all plays out. But, yeah, this year has been very different for investors broadly. Jesse, thank you, as always, for your time, man. Great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The IRS says it inadvertently posted what is normally confidential information involving about 120,000 individuals before discovering the error and removing the data from its website.
I don't consider any Trump supporter.
President Biden making that remark one night after he delivered a primetime speech where Biden insisted threats to democracy include people who call for violence and those who don't denounce it, along with those who refuse to acknowledge an election result. President Biden calling them MAGA Republicans who don't respect the Constitution. Biden also calling them fascists this week. Multiple reports say the college football playoff is set to expand from 4 to 12 teams. The new model expected to start in 2026. This is USA Radio News. NASA is expected to try and launch the Artemis 1 mission to the moon for a second time on Saturday. At Kennedy Space Center, Space Force Launch Weather Officer Melody Lovin says the weather forecast right now is looking good.
We do expect clearing on the back side of that, and that is because that is the reason why we are trending the forecast to more of an 80% favorability at the end of the launch window tomorrow afternoon.
She says Monday is the backup launch window with a 70% probability of go based on the weather. However, she notes that the weather could be more volatile. When the Houston Texans take to the field for their home opener, the Uvalde school shooting will be weighing heavy on their hearts. The team announcing Friday that they will be sporting an Uvalde Strong helmet sticker when they take on the Colts. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the first two segments with Jesse Felder. Again, kind of more big picture conversation that we had with Jesse. In the last two segments here, we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. That means it's going to be a bit more chart-focused and, again, a bit more long-term chart-focused, as we are going to be referring to a lot of monthly charts, as Doc likes to do. Look, we all know that we get the odd little bounce and the odd little counter-trend rally, but, Doc, big picture-wise, let's start with the gold stocks because, look, it was a pretty bad monthly close for a lot of different sectors, but since we are focusing on precious metals, silver broke down, gold hasn't fully broken down, hasn't reached that 1675 level yet, but GDX, that just closed at another monthly low that we have to go back to just after the pandemic crash. But quite frankly, I like to look at more of the big picture look here, where GDX is back to levels that were almost a year before that pandemic. So we have completely retraced all the gains that came out of the metal stocks after the pandemic run that we had. Doc, where do we stand now? Is there any hope for GDX to stabilize somewhere around these levels, even after that bad monthly close we just had?
Well, I think they could stabilize, but I hate to say this, but I wouldn't be surprised to see GDX over time move down below 20. And right now, I'm looking at 2308. So I think, Corey, that the path of least resistance here yet as we go into the end of the years, in which GDX comprises some of the big cap stocks, and they're starting to get hit finally, and they have a ways to go, most of these stocks, lower, because I've looked at a lot of their charts. And so as they comprise GDX, I just think GDX, the path of least resistance, is down yet. And so I think we're going to see below 20 in GDX going forward.
Well, Doc, you and I were speaking just before we started recording about a couple of stocks, and almost everyone I talked to you about, you said, that's probably going lower. Yep, that one's probably going lower. And we even got over to the big move that Newmont's had, which is really the bellwether for the whole sector, the largest gold company, the one most generalists will be familiar with or may even have a position in. And so I'd love to get your outlook on what you think of the bellwether Newmont and what the outlook is there, kind of as a model for the rest of the sector.
Well, because Newmont, I think Newmont has a real good chance in this move with time to move down into the 30 to 35 range. And I think we're going to be there probably by October. And then the question becomes if it holds there. And that will be dependent a lot on what the longer-term charts look like at that time. The problem with if you close be in the area of 30 to 35 for Newmont is that it's broken the 200-month moving average, which would be significant. And if it does that, which there's a very good possibility it could over the next couple, 3 months, then one suspects that we're going to be in this a little bit longer than we'd like to, and that we might even move into next year struggling with some of these big cap stock names.
So, Doc, what about the juniors? Because in all fairness, I think we all know that the juniors have been beat up way more than the majors, even though the majors have corrected already quite substantially. But we look at some of these juniors, and boy, oh boy, they're back to single-digit million-dollar market caps. Some of them even still have money in the bank at those market caps. Are you a bit more, I guess, confident that the juniors could hold up a little better, even if the majors are still going to trend lower?
Well, juniors have probably a little bit more sickness to them, too, I would say. You look at the GDXJ, and I think that the trend for that is probably still down a little bit. I think we could see 25 on the GDXJ before I would get quite excited about it. And we could even, you know, move lower after that. But I would think 20 to 25 for the GDXJ before we probably start leveling out, frankly. But a lot of those have gotten crushed already, and there's some real buys in it. So for a lot of investors right now, if you are careful about which ones you want to pick between now and the end of the year, especially with tax loss selling, I think it's going to be a great time for these bargains to be picked up.
Well, Doc, another thing that's been eventful lately, as Corey mentioned in the intro, is silver pulling back below 18. A lot of people did not want to see that, me included. And now we're in the mid-17s. Some technicians are targeting lower prices. Usually the mining stocks, especially GDXJ, but of course SILJ and SIL, track the silver price. Silver is a more speculative metal than gold is, and it tends to trade more with the miners. Does this pullback in silver concern you at all about there being even more pressure in the mining stocks?
Yeah, and the tough thing about silver is this week, if tomorrow or if Friday doesn't show much improvement in it, we're going to have a lower closing low than we've seen since July. That is not good. Plus, we've broken, of course, through the 200-week moving average, and that in itself was a really negative thing for silver. And so silver is going to also be under pressure for a while, looks like. And as gold, and we talked about this off mic, that there were a lot of people that thought the gold lows were in going back months ago. But it's looking like we're going to plumb new lows in gold as well. Gold is looking very weak on the monthly charts, and we may not get those lows tomorrow, but it does not look promising for gold either. So if gold's going to move down, you can bet silver is, especially due to its industrial component, which as we enter recession and a deeper one, the usage won't be there as much as if we were expanding our economy.
So, Doc, give us some insights on what technicals you're actually watching on that, let's say, gold monthly chart. Because silver, look, there's many negatives that we can point out on silver, as it has just broken down, especially on that monthly chart. Gold, though, again, still is holding above some of those recent lows of around 1675. But what are the technicals that you're focused on that are telling you that new lows will be coming?
Well, number one, the good news is we closed off another month. We've had 5 months of lower closing lows for gold, and that's positive in the sense that we're due for a month where we actually have a close above, and hopefully that'll happen in September. But the problems are, for the first time on the momentum indicator, the RSI, the relative strength index, we've broken the 50 medium line between the 70 and the 30, which is considered the average, the 50. It's for the first time we've broken below that. That is one item. Number two is that your lower Bollinger band is now turning down on the chart. That's number two. Number three is we're still, the 12-month on the MACD is still leading the 26-month down, and we haven't even gotten to zero yet. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is that the ADX, which is a strength indicator, is now turning down again and took out its previous low that was at the first of last year. And so that's starting a new trend down. So for all those reasons, and plus, the last one is the slow stochastic has not yet oversold. It's not in oversold territory yet. So all of these are pointing to a problem for gold right now and showing the possibility that we are moving to new lows for gold.
Still looking for some lower prices. You're not the only technician that's come on the show, and especially the generalists that have come on our show, pointing to lower prices potentially in the near term, too. We'll see where it goes, but we're going to have you back on next segment, and we're going to be talking a bit more on the markets and a few other sectors, a few other markets, as we will continue to bounce around.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are finishing the show as promised with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, just one more quick big picture comment regarding the precious metals. Something that we brought up a couple times this last week is the potential chart similarities for gold compared to that 2011 to 2013 region right before gold really dropped out of bed and then went into that multi-year, that five-year consolidation. Are you seeing any similarities in terms of the charts now to that 2011 to 2013 time frame?
This move down in gold to me is much better from the standpoint of and I've said this before, that if you look at strength indicators, they have not dropped right out of bed like they did back in 2012 and 13. In fact, if you go back and compare where we are on a monthly basis in this gold move, and you go back to 2013, 2013 was way lower on a percentage basis than we are today, and that's encouraging to me. So what that tells me is there's still strength underlying this gold market, that as we move into more of a sell-off here, we're not going to drop way out of bed based on how the strength indicator is not moving down in a vertical position much at all. It's gradually and lazily moving down, which tells you that there's strength in this market and that you're not going to see the percentage of sell-off regardless as we move down like we did back in 2011 to 2013. The problem was back in 2013, we were much lower comparatively on a monthly basis, and after that, it still moved down after a year and a half to even lower lows. Well, this time around, I think as we move down and we move into next year, we're going to not go much lower. And that'll set us up eventually for a decent rally.
Well, Doc, one thing that's been a headwind for gold and silver and really most of the commodities has been the dollar. The U.S. dollar has continued to surge higher really all year long. Just this week, I mean, as of recording this on Thursday, it was at 109.62 at the time of this recording and got pretty close to 110 today. Do you think we'll continue to see a stronger dollar? Because while it does not have to be inversely correlated to any of the commodities or gold or silver, it generally is a headwind, and it would be a tailwind if it would roll over. What's your outlook on the greenback?
I think the greenback, and I said this about 2 or 3 months ago, I think the greenback will peak, will probably peak by the end of the year. In fact, it may peak by November, December. But that doesn't mean that we're just going to vertically drop after that. We could hang around at the top like we did back in 2015 and 16. We could hang around a top for a while in the greenback before we start to move down. But I don't see the greenback going much higher after the end of the year at all. It'll just hang around and then probably start a descent sometime in 2023. Once we meet that top in the greenback toward the end of the year, I think most of the damage will have been done into the precious metal market.
So once that damage has been done, is there going to be a snapback rally, Doc, or is there going to be time needed to consolidate those losses, build up maybe a bit more solid of a base?
I think your latter comment, Corey, and I've been saying that for some time too, that I don't see a V-shaped recovery at all. I think there's going to be so much damage done, not only the precious metals, but also the conventional markets, which some people think the bottom's going to be done by September to December. I just read a guy, but I don't think so, because once the conventional markets take out their 50-month moving averages, there's no way they're going to bounce back up over those in any meaningful way. So I think we could have problems with the conventional market for some time, too. And so just from that standpoint, I think what we're going to see is the precious metals will bottom. A lot of these stocks will have bottomed. And then they're going to just bounce along a bottom for a number of weeks and months and slowly move up. It won't be fantastic for a while, but eventually we'll get back to the point where they'll start a sustained move up. But I don't think it's going to be right away. They're going to have to consolidate and gain some strength at their bottoms before they really start to move up.
Well, Doc, that brings up a question about the narrative that we hear sometimes, that for gold to really have a true bull market, it's got to diverge from the general markets. But then we have a lot of people that come on and say, hey, look, you know, if the general markets go down another 20-30% and have a serious corrective move from where they've already corrected, that's going to pull everything down with it, including gold, silver, and the mining stocks. Do you see a scenario where the precious metals or even the mining stocks bottom before the markets and start moving up and do diverge, or will they both go down in tandem?
I think if the general market goes down, that'll take down the large cap stocks even further with them. I think some of the explorers and other mid-tiers are pretty much washed out. They may have a little percentage move down lower, but not much. I think some of them are already scraping the bottom and are ready to turn laterally on the longer-term charts. But it'll have more of an impact, I believe, on the large cap if the conventional market continues to be under pressure.
Doc, where does the conventional markets go from here then? Because clearly, still bear market action that we're seeing, still the high fly or the tech stocks, the riskier stocks, more taking it on the chin than anything else. But again, everything seems to be moving lower in this fairly orderly bear market sell-off. How much lower can U.S. equities go?
Well, I think what happens with the U.S. equities is that I think they challenge their lows first that we saw around June and July of this year. That's going to happen first. And then you may get a little bump, not as high as in the Dow, the 34,000, which I mentioned last month that we would see most likely, which we did. But then I think they may recover a little bit. But then the key to watch long-term on the conventional market stocks is the 50-month exponential and simple moving averages. They haven't been compromised at all. In fact, we haven't had a close below those things in almost 11 years, I think it's been. And so even though we pulled back here, if we would start to move higher in these stock markets, that means that we haven't even had a bear market. That all we've done is move back and challenged some very important moving averages. To make this a bear market, we're going to have to close below those 50-month moving averages. And if we do, if we have a couple months or so, then we're going to go a lot lower. And then it's a question of how low do we go. But as we spoke off mic, I think that Mr. Powell, unlike every, there were a lot of people that thought he'd be backing off by July already, and I said consistently early in the year, don't count on it this time, because they've got a real inflation problem there that scares these people skinny. And I think he's going to be semi-Volcker-esque versus an Arthur Burns response back years ago when they were Fed chairman. And I think he means what he's saying this time. They have to, because otherwise they're going to let that inflation genie out of the box that you think it's bad now. It's going to be a lot worse. So I think there's going to, he doesn't mind cracking this, the stock market. I don't, and if you look at the unemployment reports yet, they aren't bad at all yet. So I think they don't have no problem keeping rates raising as long as the unemployment figures don't go nasty on them. So that hasn't even happened yet. So they have room yet to raise rates, and I think they're headed to at least 4 to 5% on the Fed fund rate.
All right, Doc, we're going to wrap it up here. I think you've outlined enough lower targets for enough different markets, so I always do appreciate your outlook, especially in that longer-term fashion, because you have been broadly right in the general direction, and that's more for investors that want to buy and hold rather than trade in and out of positions. Different strokes for different folks when it comes to investing. But look, we have some levels now after we just went through, unfortunately, a pretty bad close for the metals and even markets being on their back foot. It's a tough year for markets. It's bear market action that has brought everything down. But there are some levels that we should be watching for. Overall, though, Doc, always great chatting with you. I do appreciate your time on this weekend show. Everybody, please be sure to visit our website, our podcast throughout the week. Listen to our daily editorials. And as always, email Chad and I with your thoughts on markets, companies that you like, and any guests you would like to see on the show. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.